This is Across the Streams Media Podcast.
If you want to bring 1 foot forward into a lunge and a half moon crescent, and then come down, yeah, for a boat pose.
Can we all be brave adults and just admit that babies don't need yoga?
Today I thought we'd talk about how many of you are coming up on the end of your maternity leave.
You're gonna be late.
Yeah, I'm just saying goodbye. It's a traditional custom here on Earth.
I'd break it up.
They're gonna fire you, okay. Kate.
All right, cool. Here we go.
So HR tells me you have a room to do your milking thing.
Yes, this office.
That'll put on quite a show.
Yeah, I think I'll use the bathroom. Yes, this is Kate. No, I'm not busy at all.
We got the feet.
Love you.
I'm not so sure I want to go back to work. 8 months is not that much time. Soldiers with PTSD are given longer.
Are you comparing yourself to a war hero?
No, of course not. Childbirth is way harder.
I got my first open house today. I fantasize that a car would just hit me, you know, just take me away from all this.
He's talking about a vacation.
Yes. Like a brain dev vacation.
Dana!
I am running just a little bit late.
Should I just go home?
No. Easy, does it.
What's the trick to making all this work? I'm trying to stay positive. It seems a little impossible.
Hey, are you okay?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Dan Aykroyd Podcast. I am your host, Scott White. Actually, I am not your host, Scott White. We're going to do something different this time. So I have a returning guest, Lauren Hantz. And what I'm going to do is I am going to turn the podcast over to her and let her be the host because she knows much more about the subject that we're going to talk about today than I do. So Lauren, take it away.
Awesome. Scott, thank you so much for having me back. I always love being on your podcast. It's super fun. I don't know if it was like the first or second time you asked me to be on the podcast. I was like, oh, we have to talk about this show called Working Moms that Dan Aykroyd is on. Have you ever seen it? I had assumed you hadn't because it's definitely a show that appeals to women and mothers and, you know, those types of folk. But he's in it a couple of times and he plays the main character's father. So today we're going to talk a little bit more about all of his appearances and kind of the theme of his character throughout the seasons of Working Moms and how he got introduced. So, okay. So did you watch any, how many of the episodes did you watch that he's in?
So you gave me, I've watched all the episodes that he's in, quote unquote in, because that's very deceiving. From what you've sent me, what I could realize is he only appears in two episodes.
Correct. Yeah.
One from the first season, and then the very last one, because this ran seven seasons.
Correct.
And then two episodes, his appearance is just a voicemail that he left on his daughter's phone. And then one season, his daughter is having an acid trip, and he is the voice of a deer in the woods.
Yeah.
So I watched all those episodes. So I watched five episodes of Working Moms.
Okay.
Throughout.
So you're familiar with the quirkiness of the show. So I was kind of curious. So Working Moms is a Canadian show. So I was like, oh, that's the connection. You know, maybe they reached out to some really great Canadian folks and got Dan Aykroyd on the show. But I learned, okay, so Katherine Reitman is the star of the show. She plays Kate. She's also one of the writers and the producers of the show. She's kind of this quirky like person in general. She has a really funky face. So if you've ever seen the show, you'll see she has this really weird mouth and this kind of just a really unique look. And she's a fantastic actress though. Yeah. Did you have any thoughts on that?
She's very attractive. But she's also, like you said, she has a very unique look.
Right. Yeah, she's super quirky. And it's really fun. She even addresses that in the show in different episodes about her mouth. And so she's just like very open about it. Now, this may be fun for you to know. Her dad is Ivan Reitman. Do you know who that is?
That is the director of Ghostbusters.
That is correct. Ding, ding, ding. And her brother is Jason Reitman, who directed Juno and some other things is, you know, kind of well.
Well, he directed the last Ghostbusters.
Yes. Yeah. So it took over for his dad. So Aykroyd and Ivan are very good friends. And so Catherine grew up with him kind of as this friendly, you know, also like a father figure in her life. So they are very good family friends. And so when she was putting this show together, she cast Dan in it as, and he, I think signed on pretty quickly as like, I don't know if like a favor to Ivan, but just as this, you know, this kid that he's mentoring, because she's been on a lot of other, you know, little one-liner roles and, you know, some smaller roles in movies and all of that. She grew up in Los Angeles where her dad was working.
Was she in any of the Ghostbusters movies? Was she an extra or?
The IMDb was where I got that information. It doesn't look like it. Like she was in it.
Okay.
She could have been an extra. I mean, she probably was a pretty young kid at that time when they were filming that. So maybe like a street person or, you know, something fun like that. But I thought that was really cool that they knew each other. And so this project that she took on with Working Moms was like this really big project for her that she a lot didn't know what she was doing, you know, which I think a lot of artists, like I'm sure when you started out in stand up and starting out in podcasts, you're starting all this stuff and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm flying by the seat of my pants kind of thing. Even though she had this father who had been in the industry for a long time, she still was out doing it by herself. And so she got Dan to come in and play her dad in this kind of fictitious story that she tells of herself, but based a lot on kind of her own experiences of being a working mother. And so in the series, her husband in real life, Philip Sternberg is his name, is her husband in real life. So they play on-screen love interests and then are together. And so I think that's really neat. She's kind of brought in a lot of folks that she deals with. So you'll kind of see as the episodes go on and how the father plays a part in Kate, that's the main character's life, is really, really interesting. And it was interesting when I was watching it, I thought, you know, the dad is serving as this, in all of the episodes that he appears or his voice appears, is serving as this kind of guide for her. And you can tell that there is this very sweet relationship that Kate, the character, has with her father. And her father's always encouraging her and comes to her in times where things are really difficult. And I was, but before I knew the whole relationship and how everybody was connected, I was like, I wonder if this is kind of the relationship that Catherine Reitman has with her dad. At the time, I didn't know that her dad was this big Hollywood director. And so it's really cool.
Now I will let you in on something. There's a ton of characters in this sitcom.
Yes.
Or I don't know. Would you call it a sitcom?
100% a sitcom. Yes. Okay. Absolutely. 30-minute. It's a 30-minute sitcom. It's like that little 3-act, you know, structure and all of that.
Right. And the episode, like you said, we're going to give an overall view of the show, but we're going to talk about the first episode where Dan appears. The redheaded woman.
Anne.
Her husband, I know him.
Oh, seriously?
So this is a Canadian show. I do stand up in Canada. I've worked with him. His name is Ryan Belleville, nicest guy in the world. And I worked with him a couple of weeks because he is a stand up.
Oh my gosh. So. He's hysterical in the show. Mm-hmm. I love his character. He is a fantastic actor. And I love that he does stand up. That's so cool. So you'll have to tell him you watch, you know, Working Moms. And he'd be
well,
like, what?
So now I didn't know about the show, but now it all comes, you know, he was talking about how he had to, he's naturally, I'll give away a secret here, he's naturally gray. And when I worked with him, he said, he's like, my television series is starting again. I have to dye my hair. he had to dye his hair for the part because he is naturally gray like Steve Martin.
Man, that's so cool. I love it. Well, and I love that you know that character from the show. That's so fun. Was that like a big surprise when you turned it on? You're like, wait a second.
It's like, yeah, I know. Wait a minute. Now, now the past conversations that we had just sort of made sense now. It's like, oh, okay, I get it. Yeah.
That's so great. Oh, man. Well, I love it. Okay, well, let's get into some of the episodes. So, like you said, the first episode that Dan appears in is in season one, episode 7. It's at the very, very end, and there's a little setup at the beginning that they're having dinner with her parents, and Kate is kind of, she works for a PR firm. She's kind of a big wig PR gal, but is transitioning back into work after having a kid and still trying to show that she has what it takes. And she is looking, I think, to get a transfer to Montreal, and she finds out that she doesn't get it. She pulls up to her house, and she can see the party going on inside with her parents and her husband, and you hear a tap, 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 and there's her dad. It's...
Hey, lady, you lost?
What are you doing out there?
Just getting some fresh air.
Mm-hmm. You smoking?
Vaping, actually.
Is that weed?
Oil extract. Want some?
Yeah, I'm good.
Ooh. Mm. You seem like you're down in a trough. Care to share? What is it?
I'm just tired.
Oh. Hey, what about the Montreal thing? Any word?
Actually, I just found out they gave it to Mel.
The Weeper?
No, that's Carl.
The teenage Zorp.
That's Chad. Oh,
ridiculous. Why your boss would want so many boys with the same name in that office is beyond me. How'd he tell you?
Who, Richard? He didn't. I found out from Carl, the Weeper.
Well, don't uncount your chickens before you know they're dead. Just wait till you hear it directly from Richard.
Yeah, maybe.
And Nathan, does he know what's happening? Oh, you have to have a talk with him. I mean, a real talk. The secrets in a marriage are like fleas in a bed. If you leave them to fester, they'll both have you sleeping on the couch.
Fair enough.
Oh, I better get back inside. I told your mom I was making a phone call, but I just remembered. My phone's in her purse.
Sounds like a secret.
Well, what do you want for nothing? Do as I say, don't do as I do.
Okay.
You coming?
In a minute, will you pretend you haven't seen me?
What? Seen who?
Love you, Dad.
You too, honey.
And I was so delighted when Dan Aykroyd popped in. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. And so he pops into the car to really just, it ends up being this very kind, like, moral support that he gives her. They have some good jokes back and forth. He's like, oh, I came out here to see you. And she's like, oh, you came out to smoke. And then he's like, no, I'm vaping. And then she asks him if he has weed in it. I don't know. That was great. And he doesn't really answer that one. And
he said it's some sort of oil, some flavored oil or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what it was. It was pretty funny, but he takes on that kind of fatherly archetype very well. And you can tell there is a connection now that I know that they are connected, you know, in real life. You see that kind of chemistry that they have on set. And Dad is encouraging her that she needs to talk to her husband about this Montreal job and what's going on, and not to keep secrets between them, which is super interesting because there's a lot of secrets between them, that between Kate and her husband, Nathan, that happened throughout the rest of the seasons. And so it's very interesting that her dad gives her that bit of advice, you know. Anyway, so
are there a lot of affairs in this movie?
Yeah, so in season, I believe it's season 3, the husband, Kate's husband, cheats on her. I think with I think it's with the nanny. Anyway, it's pretty intense. And so their marriage goes through a really rough, rocky season, where she moves out of the house, and then she has some hookups as well. And then they do eventually get back together, and their marriage is able to kind of weather that, that situation, which is, it's just really interesting. And I'm assuming there was kind of this overall arching story that they wanted to tell, because it was set up so well in the car scene with Dan Aykroyd in season one. Don't keep secrets. And then she's like, well, did you tell mom you were just going for a walk? And he could, you know, he's like, don't do as I do as I say. Anyway, it's a really sweet scene. So it sets this kind of relationship that she has with her father as the rest of the show goes on, because the show, it is a sitcom in that it's about 25 minutes each episode. Very funny. But it's more than that, because there are running themes, and you do kind of need to know the backstories as you get into each episode and each season, because they build on each other. So you see that in season two, which is where we find out that Kate's dad dies. It's at the very end of the second episode for the season. And I don't know if Dan Aykroyd was involved in any of the writing of that episode, but I have to feel like he was, because it is so funny. You know, it's a very serious topic, you know, her dad dies, and it's putting the weight on, right, as like working moms, all the things that she has to deal with. She's trying to kind of find her way back into the working world, and then, you know, her dad up and dies, and so at the end of season or episode two in season two, she is talking with her husband, and there everybody's just kind of zoned out because life is difficult, and she gets a phone call, and her mom's kind of hysterical, and it's a little funny. And then the sister gets on the phone and says, you know, dad's not okay, he's died. And then they cut to the next scene where it's the mother and the sister and the husband and Kate. Do you remember this scene? I do. It's super funny. Tell me what you were thinking about that scene. I think it's hysterical.
So everybody's sitting on the couch, and she's like, dad called me. What did he say? He goes, I didn't take the call. And they're like, do you have the voicemail? I'm like, yeah. Well, listen to it. Yeah. Once again, it's Dan being very supportive. Hey, slugger, I know you got this, and I believe in you, and I love you. And then at the end of the call, he goes, God damn it. I stepped in dog shit. And that's where it ends. And everybody is just sort of freaked out there, and then she just starts hysterically laughing at that.
It was, well, and how he dies, the mother's sitting there, she goes, oh, he found him on the street, choked on his lozenge. And it's like this, like, slapstick comedy in some ways of, like, he choked on a lozenge and fell in the street and died. And it was just executed so funny. And then, oh, play the voicemail. This could be his last words. And he's like, oh, shit, I stepped in shit.
So this being made for Netflix, we've got nudity in here. We've got profanity. We've got simulated sex quite a few times. I respect stuff like that, where it adds realism to it. Because there's one episode where our main character, she's watching her baby, but she's taking a shower at the same time. And you can see her, you know, it's nothing sexual about it. It's just very funny seeing her naked. It's like trying to wash, but then keeping an eye on her daughter while she's doing that, so nothing happens. That's a very funny scene. And it's like, what else are you going to do? You got to take a shower, but you can't let your baby out of your sight. So.
Right. Yeah. Those are very real. There's so many real moments that are happen in this show, you know, so if for some of your listeners that, I don't know, it's definitely a show that is marketed towards women. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'm not saying men won't enjoy it, but a lot of the humor, I mean, as a mom, as a working mom, I get it 100%. And it's so funny. And I love this. I was reading an article about that Reitman was giving, you know, an interview about writing this show. And she loves the idea of playing these kind of very, very three-dimensional characters, and that they are not perfect. And there is so much in the show that they are very imperfect people and very flawed. And there's times you want to like wring their little necks. Yeah. You were feeling that?
Yes. I wanted to bring that up because we have a trend nowadays where for a woman to be strong, the men around her have to be incompetent bunglers. It's sort of like the Home Improvement. I think we've talked about this before. The women and the men in this show are both, they both have their strengths and they both have their weaknesses. It's not like, hey, look at the dumbass man. I'm a strong, intelligent woman. Get a load of this guy that I married. Am I right? It was none of that. It was that I found that very refreshing. It makes you enjoy the story more when the man and this goes back to like in the 60s when it was the other way around, when they were writing women as, you know, these, you know, bubble-headed bimbos. When both a man and a woman are both well-written and both have their flaws and both have their strengths, it's a much more enjoyable show to watch, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I'm so glad you brought that up. It's nice to see the balance in that and getting these really different characters. And that's actually one of the things that I loved about the relationship with her dad in this show, is because she could have easily written that as a mom or like if you're wanting to do this kind of female empowerment thing, but she writes this really strong father who is an anchor for her, who believes in her and is always there for her at the hardest times with encouragement. And you don't ever get a feeling that he's this kind of weak man. It's like his compassion and his love for his kid that makes him so strong and wonderful. And I absolutely love that. So we hear the voicemail, then she replays the voicemail again later in season two. And it is just another time where it accentuates kind of the strength of her father coming into her life in a time where things are really messed up. She leaves her big PR firm and goes to work for this new hip firm where she's the old lady and she has like no idea what to do, and then gets caught up in this kind of things that she did wrong concerning her old firm and the new firm. And she plays the voicemail from her dad again just to remind her that, you know, it's not over yet, kiddo. Like keep going on.
I wanted to bring this up. And I think this gives credit to the actress, the redheaded, what's her name?
Anne.
Who's really in the episode that I watched, she's really into unicorns.
The kid's a real pill. Like, it's, yes.
That's it. I hated the kid. And not the actress, but the kid. It was, to me, that's just a great job of what the actress did is, I could not stand the child. And that's one thing that I have is I'm not a big fan of child actors or actresses. They can make or break a TV film, you know, a TV or a film, depending how good they are. She is a great actor. She played a pill, as you put it, perfectly, where her mom's just trying to connect with her. And you could tell that she's a daddy's girl because she doesn't like hanging with her mom, but she definitely likes hanging with her dad.
Right. Well, that is an actually really interesting relationship because Anne is this kind of real hard, difficult woman. And it kind of comes back around. Like Alice, that's the daughter, is a real pill kind of throughout it. But you see kind of how this kid has gotten this really thick skin. I think one, she just has kind of a strong personality to begin with. And then she's raised by this mother who is really difficult and actually really hard on her. And it's really interesting. But at the very end in season seven, the last episode, there's this kind of reckoning of like, you know, I'm a really strong willed woman. I think they use some choice words, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm going to raise a strong willed child. And this girl's going to be okay, because throughout the seasons, like, Alice goes off the rails, like as bad as a kid can go. She just goes so bad, but she turns her life around. It's a testament to the kid, because she plays the part so, so well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
That's great. Okay. So then in, season three, we hear Dan Aykroyd again through the voice of a reindeer.
Yeah, so they all go up to a cabin and take acid. They start, they all start tripping. She walks through the forest and she runs into this reindeer that has the voice of Dan.
Ho! 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 You're a reindeer.
Hi.
Say that again.
Hi.
Dad?
Yes?
Oh my God, you're a Patronus.
The hell is that? I just wanted to swing by and make sure you're okay. Your life seems a little more complicated these days.
Even with Nathan. I know you want me to forgive him. I don't think I can.
Now look, honey, it's up to you. Marriage is just a choice. Every day. I love you, kid.
I love you.
Kate!
Anne?
Kate, where are you?
Anne, I should... go.
It's great. Well, because this is where the affair has happened. And so Kate's husband has had an affair, and she has moved out of the house, and she's just angry with him. I think a lot of her friends are like, leave him, well, this isn't worth it. And as she has this acid trip, her dad comes to her in a vision. She goes, Dad, you're a Patronus. And he's like, what is that? Which is really great. And gives her some more advice. Well, more just encourages her to trust in herself, which is a theme that you see with their relationship throughout. And she's like, Dad, I know you want me to forgive him. And he's like, well, marriage is a choice. I love you, kid. You're gonna make a good choice, kind of whatever way you decide to go. So
listen up, weed lovers. It's 421, and IndieCloud.co is here to elevate your celebration. Get a massive 42% off all weed, edibles, and vapes for the entire month of April in our biggest sale of the year. This is a special year to celebrate 420, as it marks 6 years since the sale of almost all cannabis products was legalized across the country. This allows IndieCloud to deliver to you dispensary-grade legal products discreetly delivered straight to your door, no medical card needed. IndieCloud has something for everyone. Whether you're a seasoned toker or just starting out, you can explore the world of weed safely with our award-winning Soda Shop Gummy Series, our 12 strains of flower, or our record-breaking selection of vapes. Celebrate 420 responsibly all April with IndieCloud. Discreet delivery, top-shelf products, all month long. Head over to indiecloud.co/spring24, that's C-O, not .com, to snag 42% off your first order.
Really fun little thing that they add in there. I don't know if, like, every season she calls up Dan's like, hey, do you think you could make an appearance and we'll see how it goes?
He could just do it from wherever, do it from his living room if he's just doing voiceover work. Yeah.
Right, yeah. It's super fun. Well, and it's interesting. I found out, so in season 7, which is the last season of Working Moms, and then the very last episode, Dan makes an appearance. And I read that at Catherine Reitman's father's memorial service, because he died 2 months kind of before they started shooting the last season, she asked Dan if he would be in it. And he said, absolutely, absolutely, I will. And so, Catherine Reitman has a bit of a meta experience, if you will, in this episode. She goes to her dad's grave to talk to him because she's in turmoil about this job that she's taken. She's taken on this really swanky job, PR rep for this big pharmaceutical company, but they just are not what she wants to do. And so she goes to her dad's grave to visit, and he shows up, and it is really sweet, kind of their conversations. What were your reactions there with that scene?
And I just can't help but think that Dan is really to the paranormal and the afterlife. So I'm pretty sure Dan thought that this could absolutely happen. You know, I'm sure he might have been channeling her dad right there and then.
Right.
In his mind, yeah.
Well, he has a line. He has a line. I wrote it down. He says, she goes, I don't know if you, can you see me? And she's like, oh, yeah. He says, yes, we have the, we see people's luminescence from my side. And I was like, what, after, from being on your podcast, I was like, oh, Dan Aykroyd had to have, you know, given insight into this scene for that.
And it was a nice scene, and it didn't last too long. And it's, you know, the standard, she looks away, she looks back, and he's gone.
Right. And he encourages her, the whole thing is like, go find the magic. It's like, and it, there's this little scene that they have when she's younger with a different actor playing her father about, she says, oh, they're reading a dentosaurus, it's a dinosaur dentist. And she goes, oh, I want to be a dentist when I grow up. And he goes, her dad says, I don't think so, that you need something with more magic. It doesn't have enough magic. So that's kind of this theme throughout that she gets from her dad. And so her dad wants her to find the magic in her life. That's his kind of cryptic advice to her.
Dr. Dentosaurus took one look at his young patient, and he knew she was in trouble.
She's scared, Daddy.
I know. Dr. Dentosaurus calmed the little dino. Now, Stego, you can keep your mouth shut and feel pain, or you can
open your mouth up wide.
You need some new books, Katie.
I think I'm gonna be a dentist.
I'm not sure there's enough magic in that for you.
Magic?
Word to the wise. Never settle for anything less than magic, Beanie.
Do we ever see the mom again?
I feel like she's probably in a few episodes here and there, but she's kind of this kind of crazy neurotic character. And the dad is this more grounded one that she has a really good relationship with, who's always in her corner, kind of fighting for her. So it's really sweet. And then I read some more that the idea of magic was something that her father in real life, Ivan Reitman, would tell her. And so that's why it's this very like meta experience for her as she's standing at the grave and one of her dad's really good friends is giving her advice that her dad gave her, and it's the character. And anyway, it's just this really kind of fun thing if you know the background. So it's cool. And then of course at the end, there's this little scene at the end of that episode where all the women are sitting around and what do you hope to pass on to your kids? And all the ladies go around and say their thing. And then she goes, I hope my kids find the magic. You know, it's this passing on of the torch from father to daughter to son and daughter.
You said we lose some cast members. But the cast pretty much stays the same throughout the 7 seasons.
It does. Anne is there and Kate, Val, she is just as the weirdest character I've ever seen written on television, and so delightful.
She proposes to her boyfriend. Didn't they just have a baby later in life?
Yeah, I can't remember how they. The baby, I think, is her son.
Okay.
Her twin sons have a baby with a girl, and they're not quite sure who the father is. This is like, it's like so messed up. They have the baby. But there is this little side venture that Val takes where she maybe goes back to her ex-husband who was terrible to her. And this new boyfriend that she has is awesome. And so there's conflict, of course. You know, we're good writers, so we're going to write conflict in. And then Val is like, no, who I really want is this new guy that I'm with. So she stays consistent. This girl named Jenny stays consistent. Her character is... Now, if you thought Alice was a pill, you got to meet Jenny because she's a real pill. And then another gal named Sloane, who kind of takes Frankie's place after Frankie leaves the show. I think Frankie dies.
I remember Frankie, one episode where Frankie was in this, she had a breakdown and she was in this home and she kept sleeping with everybody. And they offered her a job. They're like, okay, we can offer you a job here, but you have to stop sleeping with everybody. So
she's like, nah, man. Yeah.
I guess
she's a complicated character too. It's great. They're all very complicated. They're not cut and dry. Nobody's a great person in that show. You just show everybody's sides, right? Because we all have this, you know, we all have our junk and we all have our good stuff. So it's really cool. So that's about all I have for Dan Aykroyd and Working Moms. I think his appearance is really sweet. Now that I know the backstory, I think it's really special that he got to play her on-screen dad, having such a good relationship with her real-life dad, and be that kind of champion for her. And I think we all need that in our lives, you know, someone who's in our corner.
There's nothing worse than, I've dated a few women who were not supportive, and there's nothing worse than not having somebody, as we're both an improv, having your back. There's nothing worse than somebody not having your back. That Dan Aykroyd, the father, had his daughter's back even after death is really, really, it's a really, really nice thing. Even though, like you said, this television show is geared towards women and working moms. The episodes I watched, I enjoyed. The acting is great. All the actors are great. Really nice casting. Like I said, we don't get the stupid men, intelligent women. We get a nice balance between both sexes. We get a the married couple sneak off to have sex in their car.
I was reading up somebody that was an American blogger reading on this. I think they talk about sex differently in Canada than we do in America. And I don't know about that, but I was like, this show goes there in all the ways. They're like, we're not going to shy away from these topics.
Because they
do it really well.
Sex is a big part of marriage.
Right. It is. It's super complicated. There's a really funny premise that happens in season 7, the last season, where Kate is hired to do PR for male contraception. And it's this pill that men can take called Seedless. And the women won't get pregnant. So now the men can be responsible for instead of the women. But it's hysterical because it has all the like opposite side effects that like women get. Like they're weepy, they're gaining weight, they're emotional. Like her husband takes it and he's just a mess. And then they find out like Seedless has all kinds of other bad side effects. And she's like, why did I take this client on? You know, anyways. It's very funny. It's very funny. But they get into that, you know, all the complications of relationships.
I am definitely not an expert on this show, but the handful of shows that I did watch, I really, really enjoyed. And then the two major scenes, the show spanned it for 7 seasons. And Dan maybe has 7 minutes of screen time the whole time. That's all that he has. But when he's on the screen, he does make an impact. And I guess that's point of not, you know, not seeing him every season or every episode. It does pack a wallop when you see him come back. I think the voice messages were used just to, Dan was in this, you know, he was in the series just to keep. Because I always used to say, why do McDonald's still has commercials? Everybody knows McDonald's. And then somebody said, it's like, everybody knows they have McDonald's, but the commercials is just not to let them forget that there's McDonald's.
Right.
And that's what I think they just didn't want to forget that Dan was in the series.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's great. And thanks for watching some of those episodes and enjoying it. And it, you know, the acting is so much better than Soul Man that we reviewed. The kids acting.
So we talked about, did an episode of Soul Man, which was a 90s sitcom, and we were talking about how bad the childhood actors were in that sitcom to a totally different of very, very good child actors in this sitcom. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. It's great. And I can see especially after being on this podcast, like I said a couple of times, I feel like Dan's hand was in the scenes that he was in. I feel like he had to have been in like, how does this dad die on a loss? And Jenny says, shit. You know, like, it's just so funny. And the luminescence and all of that. I was like, he had to have had some.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she led him.
Absolutely. major respect for each other, you know. Absolutely.
And also, a couple of the episodes I watched were directed by men. So it's a nice combination of men and women in the creative process. Men and women writing, men and women directing. I don't like it where it's either, you know, it's got to be all women or it's got to be all men. It's like, we get our best work when we combine.
Oh, let's just put that on a t-shirt. We get our best work when we work together, combined. That's so true. That's so true. Well, awesome. Okay, I'm going to pass it back over to you for the end of the show.
You would recommend this. It's on Netflix.
Yes.
It's 7 seasons. I did it because I saw on there somewhere the CBC. I'm not sure if it was shown on the Canadian television. Is much like television in England, where after a certain time, you can have profanity and you can have nudity on television, which we don't have here in the States. So it's a very, very well written show. Yes, definitely a lot of funny stuff in there. There's an episode, the episode I watched, some guy got gonorrhea.
Oh, gosh.
And he's like, called his ex-wife, who had an affair, I guess. And he's like, did you give me gonorrhea? And she's like, no. And he's like, well, I got the... Anyway, he's getting his medicine at the pharmacy, and he's a screenwriter. So he's all happy, and the guy goes, okay, you got to take all 4 pills at once. And he's like, yeah! And he's like, the girl who gave me gonorrhea is going to be my girlfriend! Yeah! Woo! And he just grabs a pack. Okay, so, all right, yeah.
That's so ridiculous. I love it. It's a very funny show. Highly recommend. Yeah. It's not for the faint of heart. If things offend you easily, this is not the show for you. But if you don't mind, it's just so real.
It's not gratuitous.
It's not gratuitous. No, not at all. But they deal with real topics in very real ways. And it's delightful and funny and quirky. So go see it. Watch it on Netflix.
All right. Lauren, what do you want to promote? What's something out there?
Awesome. Well, I have my solo show called Holio, and you can find it online at theholioplay.com, on Instagram. Sometimes I'm on Facebook. And then I am starting a podcast called What the Fringe, with a G. Fret the Fringe. All about fringe theater. And where I interview guests each week that are fringe artists. And that is going to start coming out in April of 2024. So you'll be able to get it all the places you can get your podcasts, all the things that we say when we're podcasters.
Okay. And we'll see everybody here next time on the Dan Aykroyd Podcast.
To support this podcast, please go to www.patreon.com/ScottWhite and give what you're able. If you're listening on iTunes, please give a review. That should help people find this podcast. And no matter what services you use to listen, please leave feedback. We always want to improve. Thank you for listening to the Dan Aykroyd Podcast.
Could really use some advice. You got a minute? I know your body's in here, but it doesn't feel like you to me. Not the you I know. Doesn't matter how many times I come. Dad, how does this work? Like, if you can hear me, can't technically all of these scoundrels hear me? I don't need Penelope Joseph Everly weighing in on this, judging me. You know, in fact, could everyone just, like, fuck off for, like, 30? Would that be... I'm losing it, Dad. I don't know if you've been watching... I like to think you have, that you're not just gone.
Are you kidding? You're putting on a hell of a show.
Dad? Okay, I'm listening. I am listening. That's okay, though. It's quite good to know that you can get help.
Kate, focus. You're asking for my advice. I'm here. So, Salubra, you got a great opportunity there. And I gotta say, way to crush it.
Thanks.
You know, from my side, we can actually see people luminesce when they get inspired.
Look, I really need your guidance here.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. I do.
Just do what you've always done.
Which is what?
What I've always told you to do. Go to the magic.
That doesn't mean anything. Why are ghosts so cryptic?
You know, Katie, this ride isn't worth much unless you can trust yourself to know where the magic is. I'm proud of you, Beanie.
I miss you so much, Daddy.
Don't. I'm here. And now you go back to work.
Has been a Cross the Streams Media Podcast.
And there he was, just lying in the street like a fish with a lozenge lodged in his throat. That's how they found him.
I'm so sorry, Eleanor.
Oh, Mom, it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay.
Hey, didn't he call you today?
Yeah, he did, but I ignored him. I didn't know he was gonna die.
Did he leave a message?
I don't know. Yeah, he did.
Play it!
Yeah. Oh, wait! Those will be his last words. Okay. I'm ready.
Katie, it's Dad. You there? I thought you'd picked up. Yeah, your mother and I were wondering about dinner next weekend. Anyway, give her a ring. Love you, kid. Keep at it.
Oh no, oh no.